Well, last week we started off, we looked at one of the key passages in the life of Christ is when the religious leader came up to him and they were testing him, they were trapping him, they were hoping to trap him, and they asked him, what is the greatest commandment or the great commandment? There were over 613 commandments, and they were asking him which one he thought was the number one one. Well, no matter what he said, they would get him. That's what they thought. Because if he just said one, then they would say, so you're saying these others aren't very important. Well, Jesus' answer was very clear, and it was not exactly what they thought. It was to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. And then before they could even answer, he said, and the second is equal to the first, love your neighbor as yourself. So the greatest really of all that is love, loving God and loving others. And that's why when we start talking about the one another's, the overarching one another is to love one another. And as we continue this morning, we want to look at that. In fact, I think the thing we've got, the overarching love one another, that's the overarching theme of this whole thing. We begin, you know, that when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we're placed in the body of Christ. And we realize we have a great responsibility. And, you know, sometimes you don't think about that because there are a lot of Christians who think, you know, I just do my own thing. I go to church if I want to. I do whatever I want to do. But the truth is, when you trust in Christ as Savior, you're placed in the body of Christ. You're to connect with a local body. You are to go to church to meet with other believers, to equip the saints, do the ministry, build up the body of Christ. Then you're to scatter out in the community, being a representative of Christ. So there's a lot of great things there. But we realize we have responsibilities to one another in the Bible and in the body. Romans chapter 12 talks about that. It says we are members of one another. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says, let there be no divisions because we're to care for one another. And so we're to do all that. That's the overarching theme. Last time we started and we looked at the overarching one, that is to love one another. And I've got, I think it's 1 John 4. We can just put 11, but notice on your chart, your handout, I've got 1 John 4, verse 7, then 9 and 10, and then the key. Look back at 1 John 4, 7. I just want to remind you. It says, beloved, let us love one another. Now that's what he said. John is writing to believers and he says, let's love one another, for love is from God. And everyone is love is born of God and knows God. He says, we need to love each other because God is the one that loves us. And when people love, the believers are to love one another. We're born of God. We know God. We're supposed to do that. Then verse 9, he says, by this, the love of God was manifested in us. Now, this is how God showed us his love. How? That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He says, this is how we know God's love. This is how God's love is manifested. God showed us his love by sending his Son. Then verse 10, in this is love. This is the key. Not that we love God, because as believers, as unbelievers, we weren't loving God. We were going our own way. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the satisfactory payment for our sins. If you've got an NIV, it says the atoning sacrifice for sin. I don't think that's very, very accurate. I think it's better to say a propitiation or a satisfactory payment. But anyway, and this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the satisfactory payment for our sin. Then verse 11 is the key, and that's the one that we have up here. I don't know if we have anything underneath that or not. I can't remember. Oh, go back if you would. That's net in a minute. But verse 11 basically says, beloved, if God so loved us, and he did, we also ought to love one another. And that is the key. And there are over 60 one another's. If you go to the Bible and you just look for one another, if you go to a concordance and you look for one another, you will find that there are over 60 in the New Testament. Then you can go to the places, and sometimes they say in what we think they're saying, sometimes they're saying something else, but as a whole, you'll find there are over 60 places in which it's talking about your relationship one to another. So what we've done is we've taken them and we sort of brought them down because some of them are the same, and we've come up with the next chart or the next slide. Says that we've narrowed it down to 7 positive one another's and 3 negatives. Now, you should have the next page is the sheet that says the one another's, the overarching love one another, 1 John 4:11, and then it lists you 7 of the positive ones and 3 of the negative ones. We want to look at that. I think we have the chart right here, don't we? The first, the one another's, the overarching one is love one another. That is the key. The first positive one is to serve one another. We're going to get that today, and that is the first thing we do is we serve one another. Then the second one is to care for one another. Now, underneath that, we've got some different things. We've got be kind to one another, regard one another, be devoted to one another, because all of those go back under to be caring for one another. And even under being devoted for one another, I think that we have a couple other things. Is the next slide show that? Yeah, to bear one another's burdens and accept one another. So under care for one another, technically there are really 4, 5, or 6 different one another's you can do when we're caring for one another. The third one is to build up one another, and I put tied in with that is encourage one another, because the verses all tie together, because to build up one another actually is to encourage, and we'll see that as we go through it. Then number 4 is to admonish one another. Sometimes we don't always think that's That's great. That's great to come over and admonish. But sometimes when somebody is going the wrong way or something's not exactly right, when you in love, because remember all of this is loving one another, when you in love admonish them, help them see them. That is love and that is caring and that's what we're to do. And then the fifth one is to forgive one another. And that's probably one of the most key things in our lives. More people are confused, bothered, distracted, depressed, angry, and bitter over this one right here, that we don't forgive one another. And then the sixth one is to pray for one another. And we talk about doing that all the time. And yet most people, we just sometimes we say, I'm going to pray for you. And then we never do. And then we see them and we go, oh, I was supposed to be praying for that person. I said I would. Well, we should. And then number seven is to submit to one another, which once again, you say, oh, is that a good one? Well, it is. It is. And we'll talk about it. Then we had three negative ones. When I say negative is don't judge one another. And we talked about judging, that you can't judge motives of people. You can judge their actions, and that actions go back to the scripture. So scripture is actually the judge, but you can't judge motives. And number two is the no conflicts. We don't have conflicts one with another. And then the last one is don't have the lawsuits one with another. So that's the basically 10 that we're going to look at. Seven positive, three negative. And we all to do these. And the bottom line is, as we are loving one another, we will do all of these. And that's why I call it the overarching one. And I think that if you really get down to it, if you determine in your life that you are going to show love to other people, that the goal of your life, the plan of your life is to love one another. If you do that, all these others will fit in. Now, it's good to know them because you bear one another's burdens and you do all of those kind of things. We'll see all that as we go through it. There are a number of places in the New Testament that tell us to do these certain things. Now, what happens? Why is it so important that we love one another? Why is it so important that we do that? Well, I think the next slide shows us it's twofold. Because this is how we relate to one another and when we serve, 1 Thessalonians 4, and this deals with our testimony. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, let me just read this to you, just so you can see it. Let me find it. I just wanted to read it for a second. He says, now, brethren, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anybody to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. So as we relate to one another and as we serve, we are to do that. But it also affects our testimony when we love one another. You remember Jesus said, they will know that you are my disciples by what? Your love one for another. In fact, he says, a new commandment I give you, and that is to love one another. It's new. It's different. And we talked about it last week. And so I don't want to go into detail, but just remember that under the Old Testament or before Jesus made his new statement that you love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And now Jesus says you love others as I have loved you. That's how it's different. And they know that they'll know you, that you're my disciples by your love one for another. With that in mind, as we love one another, we're going to begin looking at the different one another's, and some will go in more detail than others as we go through this. If you have questions, input, statements, anything you want to say, that stop me. This is our class. We're not on a particular timetable, as you know, so we can do whatever we want to do. And so the very first one is to serve one another. That's the first one, and it's positive. It's the one of the positive. Serve one another. Is that the right slide? Okay. Okay, this is the first of them. Galatians 5:13. I want you to go ahead and turn over there because I want you to see what it says. And as you're turning there, remember everything goes back to love. And just remember that, yeah, there we go. As we love one another, what do? We serve one another. Galatians 5:13, that's the key. Everybody, I hope you're turning there. It's going to take just a second for you to get there. But every one of these one another's, in many of the times that he tells us to fulfill these one another's, he deals with love because the overarching one is love. Look at Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, notice, through love, serve one another. So the very first thing is we're called into freedom. And a lot of times we're not sure. What do you mean called into freedom? We were in bondage. Before we believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, we were in bondage. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We walked according to the course of this world. We were slaves to sin. And that's the way we were. Ephesians 2:2, we were dead in our trespasses. And since 2:1 says that, and then we walked according to the principle of the air. But now we've been set free. You don't have to serve sin anymore. You may do it. You still have the flesh, and you can serve sin, but you don't have to. You can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. You do not have to serve sin. But he says, you were called into freedom, but don't let your freedom be an opportunity for the flesh to fulfill the flesh again. But through love, let this freedom that we have, through love, let us serve one another. We were slaves to sin, now we're alive. We have freedom in Christ. Now, on your handout where it says we have freedom, there's two aspects. Number one, not freedom to do what we want. That's the A or whatever it is. Not freedom to do what we want. There are some Christians who believe that once you trust Christ and you have eternal life and you know you're going to heaven and nothing can take it away, then you can do anything you want to do. In fact, the normal response when people hear of grace and that you are saved by faith and you have eternal life and you'll never be separated from the Father and your lifestyle has no bearing on your eternal destiny, when people hear that, the very first thing they say is, so I can live any way I want to. And you say, no, you're going to grasp grace in a minute. You're getting it, but you're not quite there. You can't live any way you want to, because freedom is not freedom to do what you want. B, it's freedom to serve God and others. You were dead in sin. You didn't have the power to serve God. Now you have been set free as a child of God to serve God and to serve others. So that's what we're talking about when it says freedom. So by love, we are free to serve one another. This is the plan of God, the plan that he has sent, that we serve people. We are not here for ourselves. Now, we live in a culture that doesn't think that way. We live in a culture that basically is self-centered. And we're not trying to be bad, but the bottom line is most people, when we wake up in the morning, the question is, what's in it for me? What's best for me? What about as I go through life? And sometimes we as believers, we do the same thing. We wake up and we think about, God, what do you have for me today? What do you want me? You know, instead of saying, God, my life is yours. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I realize that my role in life is to take the gifts, talents, and abilities that you've given me and the life and the time that you've given me and the resources that you have given to me, and it is to invest it in other people's lives. Because remember, relationship is the key. Relationship is the key. We've talked about this over and over. There's a book that Gene checked out of the library that I looked a little bit, the very first part of it, and I also heard a guy spoke on Dobson. It's called The DNA of Relationships. That's the book. It's by Gary Smalley. And one of the truths is this, that in all of life, it's not power, possessions, money, things. It's none of that makes a difference in the long run. What makes a difference is relationships. Your relationship with God, and your relationship with your family, and your relationship with your friends, your others. That's the bottom line. That's why he says what you're called to do is to serve one another in love. And that's what we're here for. We're here to wake up and say, okay, how do you want to use my life to touch the lives of other people? Because that's all that matters, other people. You say, what about me? God will take care of you. He says, you are here for me. To be my servant, I set you free, not to serve yourself, but to serve me and others. So the very first one another that comes under the overarching one of loving one another is to serve one another. And we see the pattern in Jesus. Jesus said, I did not come to what? I did not come to be served. I did not come to be served, but to what? To serve and to give his life as a ransom. That's the pattern. When you go to the kingdom, and we talked about this, and you'll be raised up to a position of responsibility, why do you get raised up to a position of responsibility? What did you do in the past to get raised up to a position of responsibility? You served. And when you get raised up to a position of responsibility, what will you do in that position of responsibility? Serve. That sounds how it fits. I mean, it's beautiful. So we have great freedom not to do what we want, but to do what God has for us to do, and that is to serve others. If you want to turn the page and we get to the top of the next page, we say, how do we serve one another? What do we do? He came to serve, we come to serve. This is the ministry. Well, how do we do it? What capacity do we have to serve others? And I want you to look at this verse. It's 1 Peter 4:10. I want you to turn back there to the back, almost to the back of the Bible, past Hebrews, and then 1 Peter 4:10. And I want you to see this verse, because sometimes we just hear about a verse. I want you to actually read this one because it's powerful. Because how do we serve God? How do we serve God and how do we serve others? We use our spiritual gifts. And we talked a lot about that when we talked about rewards and service. But look at 1 Peter 4:10. I love the verse. Now, my Bible is the New American Standard. Let me just read how it says it. It literally says this: as each one has received a, and then my Bible puts in italics the word special. It says, as each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The word special is not in there. In fact, when you read your Bibles, anytime you have a word that's in italics, that means it wasn't in the original language, it wasn't in the Bible. And sometimes the translators put words in there that they think will help it make more sense. I remember talking to a guy, it's been about 16 years ago, he's in the church in the early days, and we talked about this. He came up to me afterwards and said, here's what I believe. I said, what? He said, whenever you see something, in the italics in the Bible, that means that's the most important thing. And I said, well, truthfully, it's probably just the opposite. It means it's something that somebody added because it's not really in the scripture. The verse actually says, as each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another. Notice, employ it in serving who? One another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Every one of us have received a gift. Now, if you want to say, and you could use it this way, are your gifts special? Yes, every spiritual gifts are special. So if you want to read it that way, maybe the translators were thinking, okay, let's just say that every spiritual gift is special. But sometimes people read this and say, well, I don't have a special gift. I just have a regular gift. And so he's talking about somebody else. No, he's talking about all of us. We take the gifts that God has given to us, and we are to serve one another. So spiritual gifts are that thing. What are spiritual gifts? I think we have a... spiritual gifts, they are abilities to serve, divine abilities given by God to believers to serve within the body of Christ. And you've heard me talk about this before, but every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior, my assumption is every one of you in this room have believed in Jesus Christ. I look at your faces, I know almost every one of you. If we've trusted in Christ, that means every one of us in this room have at least one spiritual gift, at least. You may have more than one. There are some people that have more than one. When you think about Paul as an apostle, he had a whole bunch of spiritual gifts. He was really used by God in a lot of ways. But every one of us in this room have at least one spiritual gift. We may have more than one. What's amazing, when you do spiritual gift inventory, and people come to see me, a lot of times there's two or three that are just lumped together that you'll say, well, this one was high, and this one was high, and this one was high. And you say to him, well, how do you feel about this? Well, that seems to be me. And so you may have more than one gift. You may have two. You may have three. Who knows? Or more. And so it says, as you have received a gift, employ it, use it in serving one another. So we're to use the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given us. Now, I make a distinction between gifts, talents, and abilities. I think gifts are spiritual gifts, which God, the Holy Spirit, gives us. Talents are talents and abilities are things that He's given us that we can develop. An unbeliever can have talents and abilities, but spiritual gifts believers have. And we have all three, gifts, talents, and abilities. And you are to use all three for His glory, but definitely spiritual gifts are how we are to serve one another. So here's a question. So what are your spiritual gifts? If somebody said to you, and you don't have to tell anybody right now, but if somebody said to you, write down what you think your spiritual gifts are. And you might say, okay, nothing. Gift of teaching, gift of helps, gift of... what do you think your gifts are? Write them down. Think about it. Then second question, which is even more important. Where can you use those gifts in this body? How can you serve? What ministries can you connect with? In other words, if you have the gift of teaching, where can you teach? If you have the gift of helps serving, where can you serve or help? If you have the gift of mercy, how? If you have the gift of administration, how? So think about how you can plug in to this body, because every one of us have gifts. And let me tell you, when you don't use your gifts, you will be frustrated. You will be not content. You won't be content because you're saying something's missing in my life. That's what you think. You will be frustrated. If you're serving in an area where you're not gifted, you will be frustrated. You want to find where you are gifted and then use the gifts that you have. And let me tell you, we've talked about this before. We talked about it when we did rewards. That was the study right before this one. You will be so excited when you're serving. You know, like teaching. I love to teach. I have the gift of teaching, I think. I think I do. I'm pretty sure I do. And I can hardly wait to teach. And when I teach, I'm excited and I'm fulfilled and I'm, you know, it's fun and I don't get tired. I mean, I may get tired, but I'm never burned out. And I can teach over and over and over. I can teach the same thing over and over again and I don't get burned out. I've taught the 2-2 for years. And I don't get burned out. And somebody says, well, you've taught that lesson 10 times. Do you still love that lesson? I still love it. Yeah, it's so fun. And you know, you teach Luke and you teach Ephesians and you teach these books and they're incredible. So that's my gift. Whatever your gifts are, you should be going, I can hardly wait to do this. And when you do that, your life will change. You'll never be the same. And you will know that God's hand is on you because here's what he said to you. I've gifted you and I've empowered you. And I want your life to count for me. And so you love one another and you serve one another and take the gifts that I've given you and employ these in serving one another. So that's the first one. And I've got, I think right there, what are your gifts? I've got 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. That's four places in the New Testament in which it gives listings of gifts. Now, when we really get into it, and we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 on Sunday nights. Not too long from now, we're going to start chapters 12, 13, and 14. Those three chapters all deal with spiritual gifts. And I'm going to go into a lot of detail when we get to that part. And I'm going to show you that we look at gifts, some as what we call permanent gifts and some as we call temporary gifts and those kind of things, and we'll look at it. So one of the good things to do is go to these places, look at it, see what you think your gift or gifts might be, and then if you can, come on Sunday nights when we get into the details of chapters 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians, because we're really going to go into a lot of detail. We're going to go over all the spiritual gifts. Even though Paul, in the writing, he just talks about there are varieties of gifts, but the same Lord, the varieties of ministries, but the same God, varieties of effects, but the same Lord who works all things. He talks about all this. We're going to actually go into some details. We'll take a little break as we're going through 1 Corinthians and we'll hit on spiritual gifts, spend some time on that. And it's really hard because some of it's controversial. We live in a part of the world that looks at spiritual gifts, part of the country looks at spiritual gifts different some than some others, and we'll see how that ties together. So what are your gifts? How can you serve? How can you touch lives? So as you love one another, you serve one another, and you serve one another as you use the gifts and abilities that God has given you. That's the first one. Let's look at the second one just in the time that we've got left. We've probably got 3, 4, 5 minutes, so we'll just get started on this one. But here's the second one, and it's to care for one another. 1 Corinthians 12, 25. Let me just read it to you, because we'll be getting into that pretty soon. He says, so that there may be no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. We care for one another. We have the same care. We take care of each other. See, we're in the body of Christ. We're not in this by ourselves. On Sunday mornings, pretty early, the staff comes together. We all come together to pray. And we're in this, we talk as a team. We say, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be a team and to be together, because we see that we are together. And in the same way, we care for one another. We look at each other in this body and we ought to say, we're together and we have to care for each other. We take care of each other. We're children of God. God has placed us in this body. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. That's an amazing thing. We are to care for one another. Well, how does that look like? What does it look like? I think we got, care for one another. What does it look like? Well, here's A, and here's one of the ways that we care for one another. That's to be kind to one another. Ephesians 4:32, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. We'll go to details on that some other time. Be kind. We live in an unkind world. We do. People are in a hurry. I was with Farmhouse Bible Study the other night, and I just raised one question. I said, what is one of the biggest things you guys face? And they all said, everything's in a hurry. It's so much to have to do. Never stops. And I said, well, it doesn't change when you get out of college. It doesn't stop. And with the technology and everything that we have today, you know, people used to think, well, I've got email and I've got a cell phone and I can get internet stuff on my phone and I can do all this. We thought that was good. It ended up not being that good because it tracks you down everywhere you go and everything never stops. Anybody can in their job just about work all the time if they want to. You can be busy all the time. That's our culture. We have to care for each other. And so our culture, because it's so busy, is not kind. We're too in a hurry. We're not kind to people. And we should be. I'll tell this quick story because we're going to run out of time. The other night, Gene and I and Catherine and Tyler, that's her boyfriend, we were all together, and they wanted to go to Ross's or whatever that new place is. So we went. And as we were there about to leave, a girl was working in there, and she was leaving early. Like, she turned the rest of the workers and said, "Okay, I'm off. I'll see y'all later." And so she went out the door, and we're standing there as we're checking out. And she comes back in the door and says, "My car won't crank. Anybody got jumper cables?" Now, she's not talking to us. She's talking to her friends who work behind the counter. And they just all looked at her like. And so she went back out the door. So we went out the door. And I think I got jumper cables in the back of my car. And so I looked at Tyler. I said, "I think we got jumper cables. Tell her." So I opened up the trunk and we did. So I looked at her and said, "We got jumper cables." And then she looks at us like, "Who are these strangers? Strangers have said we got jumper cables." The people she worked with looked at her. She walked out the door and said, "Well, I guess I'll have to call my mama or something." And then, because she's young, and she said, "I said, we got jumper cables." She said, "I don't know how to do that." I said, we'll do it. So we drove over there, and we hooked them up, and then she tried it, and it didn't work. And then we tried it again, and it didn't work. And then she said, "Well, why don't y'all just go on? Because no sense in y'all staying here." And we said, "No, because sometimes if you just let it run for a minute, it'll get more power or something." Well, we stayed there a little bit, and sure enough, it cranked. And she started hugging us, you know, and which is fine for me, you know. And so, what did we say to her? I said, "Listen, I don't know where you're from or anything. I said, if you're looking for a church, I'm the pastor." She said, "I am looking for a church." And we were kind, and people have been so kind to me in my life. And as believers, that's what we do. We're kind to one another. That's one of the first things we do. Be tenderhearted, kind to one another. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is kind. See, it always goes back to love. Love is kind. Colossians 3:12, was that the first bell or the second bell? First one? We got time. Okay, verse 3:12. Listen to Colossians. Colossians 3:12. "And as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." That's how we treat each other. But I think the kindness is a key, to be kind to one another. And there are several places in the Bible where it talks about kindness to one another. Listen to this verse, 1 Peter 3:8. To sum it up, he's talking about godly living. If you go in the flow of the passage, he says, now we want to live godly. And so he says, to sum it up, let us be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. See, to be kind-hearted, you got to focus not on yourself, but on somebody else. You have to. That's why to care for one another, you got to do that. To love one another, you've got to do that. You've got to not focus on self, and you got to focus. So as we serve one another, as we care for one another, as we're kind to one another, that's the way it happens. The key is we don't focus on self, but others. Let me give you the next one, because we're almost through, and what I might can do next week is we'll just do the applications next week if we run out of time. B, you know what you do? Here's B. Regard one another. That means consider one another important. That's why I put Philippians 2:3 there. Consider one another as important. The word regard means to give attention to. Romans 12:10 talks about showing preference to others. Now, we don't want to show preference to others. We want the preference. We want the best thing. But showing preference to others. That's what it's talking about. Looking out for others. Looking as others more important. I think that Philippians passage is really, really hard because it says look at others as more important than yourself. That's how we make an impact. When people actually think that you think they're more important than you are, that you treat them, you regard them, you're kind to them, they're going to say something is different about you than anybody else. And that something different is Jesus Christ. That's the second bell. The third one is we weren't going to talk about it. I was just going to list it. And the third one is be devoted to one another. Now, we're going to get that next week. So that'll be in part three. But what I want you to do, hang on to this, because next week we will go over the applications of this one. And we'll start lesson three, which carries on with those things about loving one another and taking care of one another and being devoted to one another and all of those good things. Okay. Any questions or anything? One another. Yeah. Well, in this, in the flow of this statements of one another's, he's really dealing with believers in the body of Christ. He asks, does the one another's only relate to Christians? Well, in the flow of these passages, he's telling believers, this is what you do with one another. But it doesn't just stay with us, because it flows out into the people that we come in contact with. And sometimes as they see how we treat one another, they'll say there's something different, and then how we treat them. So when it says one another, we know that the flow of the passage and the context is dealing with believer with believer, but it doesn't just stop with believer with believer, because you may be kind to somebody that you don't know whether they're a Christian or not, or you may love one somebody whether you know they're a Christian or not. So,
is that the same word as love your neighbor as thyself?
Well, the Greek word for love is the same, but the word for neighbor is different, but the love is.
It's agape.
Yeah, agape, uh-huh. Yeah, sure is. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for this time. Help us, Lord, to love one another, to be kind to one another, to care about one another, to do all of these aspects that we've talked about, to serve one another, to use the gifts, talents, and abilities that you've given us. May we do that, Lord. And we want our lives to impact each other in this room so that we can impact lives in this community. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.